Welcome back to The Table Women, a podcast by and about women in the entertainment industry. I'm Sarah DeForest.
And I'm Victoria Banks.
It's season four, and we're excited to be back with a whole new group of inspiring creators and industry tastemakers. You know the drill. Pull up a chair and get nice and comfy, because everyone is welcome and everyone deserves a seat at
the table.
Do what you want, work what you got, say what you think, and don't let them stop you. Stop you, don't let them stop. Stop you, don't let them stop you.
Busy is a pop artist based in Nashville, Tennessee. She went to Belmont University and honed her writing chops before going viral on TikTok with her song Anybody. Over the past few years, she, with the help of her team, has managed to continue that success and translate it into a budding, lasting career, enjoying multiple other successful releases and viral videos, a label deal with Big Loud Rock, and her first tour opening for Friendship. Please welcome Busy.
Okay, we have Busy, aka Elizabeth Caramonte. Is that how you say your name?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't think I've ever actually said it out loud.
Yeah.
Because I'm never going to not know you as Busy. we have Busy here today, and you have a really unique story and career path that we're going to talk about specifically through the lens of taking things from, you know, studying songwriting or being a songwriter and studying music at Belmont, and you kind of didn't really want to be an artist. You decided to, and then had this crazy, like, viral moment on TikTok, and you actually managed to translate that into, like, this amazing, sustainable career. You just finished your first tour. You just signed a label deal. All of these insane, amazing things. And so we're going to kind of focus on what that looked like for you. But before we get started into all that, can you give us a little breakdown of how you actually got into music and what that little journey was like for you?
Totally. So it's so funny because growing up, I was never like the musician. I was never like singing around the campfire with my family. I was always like the jock. Like, I was like playing every sport known to man, just like only cared about sports, like loved music, and like really, like, when I listened, it was like such a connection to music. But I think I started playing guitar around 12, and I only did that because my older sister started playing, and I was like, if she does it, I'm doing it. And then it was like kind of a matter of time where I was like, up until I was like 17, my goal was the Olympics in swimming, which is so funny to like think about now.
Wow. Love
that. Yeah, such a random like turn of events. But I injured my back when I was 17, and it was kind of this like perfect switch into music, which like when I say that, people are like, oh my God, were you devastated? And in like the weirdest way, I wasn't. It was so like natural. It was like, okay, that's the closing of this chapter. And like previous to that, probably 6 months or like a year before that, I was like really getting into music and was like, oh, this is really cool. Maybe this could be a career or whatever. So it was such a natural shift of focus. So when I was 17, I kind of like dove in, and I went to this Ed Sheeran concert, and it sounds like so cheesy, but I was sitting and I was watching his, it was like, I think it was his first, it was either the Times, I think it was the Times one.
Okay.
And I was sitting, and he was like playing all the big ones, whatever. And then he gets on the mic, and he's like really quiet, and he's like, okay, it's a quiet one, guys. And like the entire stadium of like thousands of people, dead silent. And he starts playing A-Team. Sobbing. I'm literally like, oh my God. And like, I just looked around and I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I don't care. I have no idea how to do it. I can barely freaking sing or play guitar or do anything. Don't know how to write a song. But like, the vision was there. I was like, this is it. So that's kind of,
Baby
I went home.
Manifested it.
No, literally. I was like, I went home and I was like, I don't know how to do it. But Mom, like, I need to be a singer. And she was like, okay, like what? And also like, at the time, I was so scared of singing in front of people. Like, I like singing, but I would always do it in my room and, like, play guitar or whatever. And, like, my family would be like, why don't you come down? Scared shitless. Like, I would never. So I, like, went home and was, like, super driven and was like, this is what I'm going to do. And literally that next day, I searched up, like, music colleges online. And Belmont was the first one to pop up. So I was like, it's in Nashville. This is, like
select.
And I was like, that's mine. It was literally insane. And my mom was like, okay. And so I applied, and I originally applied for the vocal, what's the vocal one? The voice major or whatever.
Yes.
The
voice performance.
Yeah.
Commercial voice major.
Yeah, I went and auditioned and didn't get in, but I was like, I don't care. This is just like the perfect loophole to go to Belmont. So I went, and I just like didn't at the time like know how, like, I was just so scared. I was like, I knew I wanted to be the artist, but like didn't know how to put myself out there as an artist, and like could write songs on my own, but didn't know what a co-write was. So I like went and I was like, I'm just gonna be undecided. And then as time went on, I was like, okay, like I like the songwriting thing. Let me just start and learn how to be like a co-writer and how to do that, and just go in as like a pure writer rather than like be the artist in the room. Because I think also growing up, I'm a middle child, so I've always been a people pleaser, and like other people will talk around me and I'm a pretty good listener and trying to like decipher their feelings. So I think that's where I like could shine in the writers for other people. So I was like, okay, I think I can do this. So I started doing that, and it was like my freshman to junior year that I like was only a pure writer. And then it was until COVID that I was like, okay, this is like ridiculous. The only reason I'm not being the artist now is out of fear, and that's a dumb reason. So I needed to like put myself out there. So I texted like select people. I texted like Jules Paymer and like Clara Park, and I was like, hey, thinking about doing an artist project, maybe you can help me. And they were like, yes, like do it, we believe in you. And they were like so supportive. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. And then that was when I started writing for myself. And it wasn't until like a year and a half later that I finally wrote a song where I was like, oh, this feels like me. And that was Anybody. And then I put that one out. And
the thing that started it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
I think you touched on a couple of things that I just want to call out, because I think we as creatives in Victoria, I'm sure you've had the same experience. So many of us, especially women, we have such bad stage fright, or like fear of performing, fear of stuff like that. It is so common, especially like some of the biggest artists I've worked with and met, talked to, whatever, have had the same experience. I myself didn't know I had stage fright until my parents forced me to do like voice lessons. They had a performance and no one told me the performance existed until like two days before. And I got up there and like totally botched it. I was like, I didn't know that I had stage fright, but now I do.
Totally.
And that's all I can think about. And so I think that's really important for people to hear that that is a big part of it and overcoming.
Oh my God.
And it's also hilarious because you are like the most performative in the most authentic way possible person I've ever met.
Definitely out there for sure.
It's so good though. So how did you, like, when Anybody happened, you obviously had this insane like lightning bolt moment online with that. How did you even decide to make a video and put it on TikTok? How did that happen? Because I feel like that's a scary thing, going along with the performance anxiety. That's a scary thing to like make a video and put it out there and
totally
all that stuff.
It's funny. So I had a TikTok before that, and probably made it like a year ago before. And I had like three videos, and it was just like me like singing in my room on my guitar. And I like hadn't posted in like probably a year. And I had like maybe 60 followers, and like they were all like family and friends. And so I was like, okay, like I don't know why, but like TikTok didn't feel as real as posting on Instagram. Like I remember posting my first video to Instagram, like shitting myself. Like it was like, and I still feel this day, like I don't want to go live on Instagram because I'm like, I know those people. Like those feel more like, okay, like they're judging me rather than TikTok. It doesn't feel as real to me. So it's like, okay, whatever, I'll go live. But I like originally started posting on TikTok because that's like what everybody was telling me to do. I was like, so now what do I do now that I have the song? And they were like, TikTok's the thing. And I was like, okay. So I remember like going in my car, and like it was the only thing I could think of to do. So I was like, great, I'll sit in my car and I'll do like a little like intro. It was like, I don't know what I said. It was something like along the lines of like, I say I'm picky, but blah. And then I go into the song. So it gives people like the little intro. And so that was the only thing I think of. So I was like, great, I'll go in my car and do that. And so I did it, and I didn't know how TikTok worked at the time. So there's like the 15 seconds and the 60 second button you can click. And I clicked the 15, but meaning to click the 60. So I'm like mid like chorus or whatever, and it cuts off, and I'm like, frick, I'm late for work. I just have to post it. I'll post another one tomorrow. So I, at the time, was working at Taqueria del Sol. We love that place.
Iconic.
Literally, so good. And I like posted it, ran to work, was late, and I was like, okay, whatever. I put my phone in my pocket. I'm like halfway through my shift, and my phone starts like blowing up, and I'm like putting literally like nachos down on someone's table, and I like run back to the room, and I'm like, what is going on? And it's my sister's like group chat, and they're like, check TikTok right now, in like all caps. And I'm like, okay. And it was like literally blowing up, and it was the weirdest thing ever, because I was like, that's awesome for that person. Like, it didn't feel like it was my video. I was just sitting there and I was like, cool.
Cool for them.
Cool for them. And I still feel like that to this day. Like, it's still, like, anytime anything does well, it's like, that's so awesome for them. But it doesn't feel like it's my, like, I don't know why. I'm like, maybe that's a disassociating thing I need to work on, but, like, who knows?
I think it goes along with the imposter syndrome.
Truly, truly.
Totally does. And you, so what did that, how did you decide to follow up? Was there any, like, oh my God, now that this is going viral, I, like, have to keep up with the content, I have to do this, I have to, like, release the song?
Yeah, what was the
thought process behind that?
It was so crazy because after that one video, like, labels started reaching out and I was like, I don't know anything. Like, I'm clueless. And that was also during the time of, like, it was the pandemic was ending, but it was still during that, like, height of labels reaching and signing people just for TikTok. And so that's what I kind of got the end of. And it was like, I remember, like, getting emailed by, like, a big label, and I was like, am I being punked? Like, is this even, like, I was like, is this, like, a spam email? And so I was like, what the heck? So I just kept posting. And then I would get on these calls with labels and they'd be like, so you got to release it soon. And I was like, well, I have it planned. Like, I'm going to release it in a month. And they were like, no, you got to jump on this. And I don't know what it is, but this is, like, I think just, like, a trend in my life. Like, whatever you want to call it, God, the earth, the whatever. It's just such a feeling and a, like, gut reaction. Like, I really try and follow that. And it was so, like, just stick to your plan. And I was like, okay. Yeah. Like, there's so many voices telling me to put it out, do it, whatever. I was like, I just need to follow what I feel is right. And if that's wrong, great, but at least I follow my gut. And so it was like, it was kind of a lot of that. And I was like, I'm just going to stick to my plan. And it was funny because I remember talking to this label and they were like, you're so crazy for not releasing it. It's not going to do as well, whatever. And then the next day, one of my videos reached the highest, like, whatever thing on TikTok. And I was like, okay, well, if I had released it, that wouldn't have happened. So, so it was just like all these things.
It reminds me of the Taylor Swift thing or like any women in radio stuff where they're like, ballads never work, ballads never work. And then, like, Taylor Swift, her biggest song is a ballad, like, All Too Well.
Oh,
like, all that stuff. Insane. And so, and everyone loves it. And then they see it happen in real life that their, like, industry recommendation isn't actually the accurate recommendation anymore, but they still don't change their behavior.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. And it's one of my favorite things, hearing people give advice that's total bullshit.
It's so bullshit. No one knows what they're doing, so you just have to follow your gut.
No, and it's just, it really, I feel like the people that are like, you got to do it now, you're so crazy. That's like the assistant of the guy who's the guy under the guy at the top who doesn't know anything about anything past like 1975.
Literally.
Like, you just got to release it. And so everyone's just trying to like not get fired by their boss who aligns with those, you know, rules that were made decades ago. So you're sticking to your guns.
You're doing the thing.
And so what?
When did you get to the point where you knew you needed somebody else helping you, and how did you make that happen?
Yeah, so it was a really natural way, which is really nice, but I put anybody out, and I, like, at that time, labels were reaching out and managers were reaching out, and I was just so scared, I think, at that time, because, like, my biggest thing is trust. Like, I just need the people around me to be good and care about me as a human, because I adore music, but it's not who I am, and it's not what, like, actually matters at the end of the day. Like, us as humans and our emotions need to be coming first. And so that was, like, drilled into my head. I was like, I don't care if you, like, there were so many people caring about the moment and the numbers and the money, and I was like, that's awesome, but, like, that's not gonna last forever. Like, things go so up and down. And so I kept, like, meeting with these people with that in the back of my mind. So, like, labels were so far off the table at that point, because I was like, you're only here for the moment. Like, I need to release, like, three more songs at least to see if you're, like, staying. So it was, like, next in my mind was a manager, and I was like, okay, I just need someone that feels safe and that has my back as a person first. And Nicolette was when I've known her since I was 9, which is the craziest thing. Like, she was really good friends with my sister in middle school and high school. And it was like it was my sister's 12th birthday party that she came over to our house for. And she was like the cool older girl. She doesn't remember me, but I remember them perfectly, all sitting on the couch. And they're like opening presents. And I'm like, I love you guys. I want to be you. Can I be part of the group? Like, wanted to hang so bad.
Yeah.
And so we kind of like found each other throughout the years before when I was just pure writing and stayed in touch. And then around the time, actually it was before I released anybody, I like sent her the song and she was like, I love it. This is amazing. And so she just kind of stayed in my like peripheral vision around that time. Mm-hmm. And then when anybody came out, we met probably like a couple weeks after. And she was like, look, I want to manage you. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's cool. And like, yeah. It was just like a sweet, like a really sweet feeling of like, this feels safe and it feels like home because she knows me as a kid. And like, we grew up in the same town and like, it's just a human yeah. first.
My sister's going to beat her up if she screws me over.
Exactly. And it was also just like she knows, like our parents were friends, like not even like close, but it's just like, we all are like raised similarly. So we get the same morals and values. And she had been like helping me with like little things along, like I would text her for TikTok questions and like just random, like when I was looking for a lawyer, she pointed me in the right direction. So it just felt like really natural. So mm-hmm. within, we started like a trial run. I released that in May. We probably started like a trial run in like July and then like officially signed on in like October. But it was like a natural thing. And it was like, I just like was so overwhelmed with like emails and people reaching out and just like organization and like all that stuff that I was like, yeah, I need someone's help. So it just mm-hmm. felt really good and natural.
Mm-hmm. And now you've gotten to the point where label deal with yeah. Big Loud Rock. I mean, what? So how did that come about, growing that part of your team?
Yeah.
So and how did you decide to go with them versus the other yeah. people that were interested in you?
Totally. That was also one of the very serendipitous moments. And I look back at my career, but also everyone's career in music. And I think that that's like when you can see fate at its beauty. And it's like so mm-hmm. like right people, right moment, right chant, right song. Like it's all just like happenstance. And I love that about music because it's so clear. Like it's clear in everybody's path, but in music especially. And so that was with Big Loud. They reached out to me, I think the second song. It was when I released Just Yet. And people were still reaching out and it was awesome. But in my head, I was like, I want to stay independent. I just think that like, I want to own my own masters. I want to like grow myself till I can be like I have clout in the deal. Mm-hmm. And so I just had that mindset. Even in the meetings, I was like, I'm not going to not take the meetings. I want to connect. I want to like see if it's a possibility. But like my overall mindset was like, probably not.
Yeah.
And then I met with Big Loud. And they were amazing, but I kind of still, like, on the first meeting, I was like, you guys are awesome and, like, check a lot of the boxes that I want, but, like, probably not now. And I kept releasing music, and they just kept, they, like, what's the quote from New Girl when she's, like, she's at the wedding and she's trying to, like, flirt with the guy and she's, like, they Bidened me or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the quote is.
They just kept being there. They showed up. Yeah. They were there, and it was, like, when labels, like big labels would drop off because like, I think it was my third song that didn't do as well. And it was just like so apparent of who was there for the moment and who was there for the actual music and like me. Yeah. And so Big Loud and a couple other labels were like really like present. And it was just like telling, like you just noticed that. And it was like, they came to every show and every like little thing, they were checking up on me and seeing how they were, and like we would get drinks and we would like, it was just like they wanted to stay connected, and obviously that's a tactic, but like beyond that it was like I don't know, the type of people and the drive that they have at the company was like something I hadn't seen. Yeah. So
I've seen you guys, I want you to continue, but I just want to say, like, as someone observing, and Vic, I know that we've talked with other people that you've worked with on this podcast, but the same kind of thing where it's like observing you, like even with Ava and some of the other people, just like at parties or stuff that we end up at the same party, and I've gotten to see you guys interact, and you're friends as well. Mm-hmm. It's like a totally. Professional relationship, but you're friends, and they're also people, at least some of them around our age, where it is, Nashville's unique in that. And I think our generation is also unique in that, where we really are trying to be friends with the people and like the people that we're around and prioritizing the whole person. And I think that also goes to like attracts like, and you have always been, I remember really early on when we, initially wrote our very first song together about you being like, oh my God, what if this is my one thing and all these people are falling off and no one's gonna love me when it like all stops happening. And then I remember watching you kind of like every time we wrote and caught up, watching you, and I was always struck by how little ego was in your like thought process of everything.
That's so,
so
nice.
Even though you, it's true, it really is true, because a lot of people when they have those big moments happen, they get like a little like, oh yeah, this and this, and they're name dropping and they're like, yeah, I don't know, like we'll see what happens, but like I think I'm gonna do this and we have this whole plan. And you were like, I mean, that's so cool, but I don't think I want like a label, like yeah. I don't think I want to do this. And it was very like an interesting way to go about things that is not something that can be faked. It has to be like a genuine like groundedness and lack of ego in the room and a real understanding of like who you are and where you're going. So to watch you have found a label down the road after sticking to your guns, it feels from my observation a very authentic connection, because you guys all feel very egoless and like you care about each other as people as well.
That's so freaking nice. Thank you, first of all. I think you nailed that on the head. Like Big Loud, they have so many amazing people that work for them and so many like insane like backstories that like I didn't know until someone else told me. Like, it wasn't that person that's high up in the world being like, yeah, I worked with blah, blah, blah. Like, I heard it from the assistant that's like, do you know who he worked with? And I'm like freaking crapping my pants. And, like, so that was just, like, another beautiful thing about Big Loud, for sure. It was, like, the egoless and just, like, the grit. Like, they're technically an indie label, which is crazy to me, but I love that because they work like they're a startup company. Like everyone is doing everything and grinding. Like I can text, not that I will do this, but I could text Ava at 2 a.m. and know she will answer and be like, yeah, I got you. I'm on whatever, the next flight. I'm doing what, like, she's just like there to like get it done, which is so awesome.
And you just had your first tour too. You just went on a tour. How did you prepare for that? And what was it like? What was the experience like?
It was so fun. I like adore touring. It was one of those things that like, I'm a pretty routine human. So I was a little nervous for it before. And I was like, I like my routine in the morning and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh God, like I've heard horror stories of tour and like people not loving it, but it was so fun. Like there were definitely hard days and I sobbed on the phone with my mom probably way more than I should have. But like, it was so, like, I learned so much about me and, like performing, because when I performed before, it was one-offs. So I'm performing, like, yeah. I'm practicing, like, 5 rehearsals, and then I'm doing one show, and I can never get better because there's, I mean, I can get better, but, like, it's not a consistent, like, oh, last night I did this, so I want to do this tonight. Mm-hmm. And so with tour, it was, like, just, like, a continual, like, bettering myself and, like, getting rid of things that I didn't need, and, like, even my band, like, I love... my guitarist Vance Major, he's like a savant at guitar and just like band theory and like everything. And so I was sitting there and just like, even by watching him like every night and playing guitar, like I was learning like from him, and like, I don't know, there's just so much to learn. And I think like I adored that about tour.
I'm so curious, like you talked about loving your routine and being scared about that, and like I'm the same way, I love my routine, I love to be comfy cozy, like all that stuff, but it also makes me wonder about like going back to one of Victoria's questions from a little bit ago about like how did that evolve for you after the going viral and everything, how did it feel going from going viral and being like, oh, I don't think I want a label deal, to all of a sudden you're on tour, you're all this stuff, because that happened in a relatively small amount of time. I mean, it happened over the course of what, 1.5, 2 years, but it was actually pretty fast, and especially in a quote unquote 10-year town where people work for years and years and years to get the label deal, and even on the label they have to work for a couple more years to get on a tour and do all this stuff. How did that feel for you, like trying to navigate that personally and professionally? It feels like it happened very serendipitous, but also very quickly.
Totally. I think there was a lot of fear. There was a ton of fear. There was so much excitement and so much like, this feels so right. But there was a lot of like literally the song we wrote, holy crap, this is the coolest thing ever. I like, it was, like, all in my hands, and I was like, what if I drop it? What if it goes away? Like, I'm having so many things I've always wanted, and it's, like, so exciting, but, like, holy shit, how did I get here? Like, there was so much of the imposter syndrome and the like, I don't know. It was crazy. And still to this day, like, I was literally talking to my producer about this today. I was like, I just have no idea what I'm doing. Like, it's like the quote of my entire life is I'm fucking clueless. Yeah. Like, I'm so clueless.
How did the people in your life react to this unexpected and fast success, fast success?
Yeah, it was fun. I think I got different reactions from different people. Like, one thing I adore about my parents is they know nothing about the industry. And so, like, it's so refreshing because, like, you'll go to Nashville and, like, sometimes people at parties will be like, oh, they're blowing up. Like, they're somebody to talk to and network with. And it's, like, so stupid because, like, one thing blows up and it could go away tomorrow. But, like, my parents are so cute because they're like, I'm like, Mom, like, my TikToks are really good. Like, people are reaching out. And she's like, what is a TikTok? And I'm like, okay. So let me reel it back.
Keep you humble.
No, truly. And I, like, in the beginning, I was like, can you just know what I'm talking about? But it has helped me so much because, like, it zooms you out so quickly. Like, I'm like, on the phone with my manager. I'm like, and then the freaking tree in our photo shoot looked so weird and blah, blah. And I'm like, freaking out about the stupidest thing. And then I call my mom and she's like, what? And it just is like, oh, this is so not important. Like, literally chill out.
So I remember calling my mom and going, I get to write with Jessica Simpson. I'm so excited. And she's like, and who is Jessica Simpson?
Literally.
I was like, this is okay.
Like, give it to your parents to, like, humble you.
You need those people in your life.
100%. Yeah. Like, I'm so great. I just think it's so much better to be, like, immediately humbled and zoomed out instead of, like, grabbing onto the little things that you obviously can't control of either way.
Totally. Yeah. Well, so, okay, here's another part of that question, though. You have reached a lot of success in an online world where you get interaction and feedback from all sorts of people.
Totally.
Regardless, you know, some kind, some not kind. So have there been haters, and how have you handled that?
For sure, haters. It's funny. I was talking about this in another podcast that I did, and this probably is so stupid, but, like, I just pretend they're not real people. Like,
yeah, they're just, like, little chat bots.
No, literally, I'm like, you're, like, so unimportant to me. Like there'll be someone who's like, this song is so stupid, or, like, you gave me the ick, or whatever, and I'm like, okay, like, and? Like, it's so, like, I just, like, doesn't, I don't know, and maybe it will eventually, and, like, there's definitely been moments where I'm like, but, like, it's so, online is so, I'm so disconnected from it that I'm like, I'm staring at a box, and you just texted that over, whatever. Like, if you want to say something, you just say it to my face, and then maybe I'll cry about it, but, like, I'm not going
to
cry.
Buy a ticket and come to my show and tell me, and then I'll hear.
Don't actually, I'll probably start crying for sure. But, like,
that's interesting then because it's like along the same lines as you seeing yourself online and going, oh, that's good for her. Like, it's like, it's not real. It's
literally
phone.
Not. Like, what is the internet? Come on, it's not real. Like, so I don't know. That's probably, like, a delusional way to look at it, but it's kept me sane for right now, so I'm going to stick to it.
Yeah.
Healthy. Well, and on the flip side of that question, have you had people, maybe not, like, the term haters, maybe that's not appropriate, but people in your life, like friends or co-writers or people in the industry, like, I know for me, like, I've had things where people didn't want anything to do with me and were kind of rude, and then I had some kind of success and all of a sudden they were, like, so eager to try and be my friend and that's hilarious to me. But, like, have you had experiences where you're like, what even are you trying to do? Or somebody that really tried hard to bring you down, and then now they're all trying to be like, hey, can I get tickets to your show? Like,
literally, yes. And those people, they make me so mad. I'm like, honey, if you want to be even more fake than you are right now, like, you just, like, outed yourself immediately. Like, oh my God, it was crazy. Like, there's one example I can think of, and I'm obviously not going to name names, but holy crap, there was one person I was like, it was night and day. Like, I wouldn't even, and I'm not someone who's gonna, like, beg for them. Like if I ask you to write or, like, collab or do anything, like, I'm gonna ask once, and if you, like, blow me off, that's so fine. Like, I get it. I don't wanna write with everybody. They don't wanna write with everybody. It's fine. But, like, it was, like, so, like, I, like, no. Like, I will never. And then, like, literally the next week, it was like, hey girl, like, what you doing? And I was like, I cannot right now. This is the dumbest thing ever. So it was like, so night and day. And it honestly made me laugh. But then, like, this might sound weird too, but I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna write with them. And so I wrote with them because I was like, I want to see. And like, it was fine, but it was nice to like put that in a box and be like, okay, like I can like doors will be open, but it doesn't mean I have to like walk through them, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that was a good example to like learn.
That is a perfect example. And it also, like, coming back to Nicolette, because we also, we're releasing this for people listening and for Busy. We're releasing Busy's episode first and then Nicolette second. Okay. So even some of the stuff you've said, you get to hear like a totally different
perspective,
expanded upon perspective from Nicolette next time. But even you and her are very similar and you're like no BS, like laugh stuff off because it's just so ridiculous kind of manner.
Yeah.
But it also makes me curious, like, since you guys got together and you made that decision, and then what are some ways that you, your life has kind of been made easier in the transition with Nicolette? Because I imagine it's kind of like, you know, we've both worked at restaurants and stuff. It's like you get to make your manager the bad guy sometimes, where you don't want to have to like deal with the difficult customer or say the hard thing.
100%.
Like, are there things that happen like that where you're like, whoa, I get to take that off my plate?
Totally. It's the classic, like, let me just go get my manager. And yeah, there's been so many things. I mean, just first of all, like, she's so freaking organized and like always on top of things. I can just be like, hey, what's this? And like seven things come in my inbox. It's just, she's awesome. And I think like that in general was such a, like, a weight off not having to deal with like the online answer emails, like organized. I don't know. It was just nice. So I could focus more on the creative. And then definitely the bad guy conversations, like just any sort of, like, even on tour, I remember there was like, just like a couple things where I was like, this probably isn't cool that that person did that. Or just like little tweaky things where I would go to Nicolette and I'd be like, hey, like, this is going on. And she'd be like, I'll handle it. And like, I didn't have to get involved. And it was nice because like basically it was just like anything on tour, like anything that was bothering me, she would take the lead and it wouldn't fall back on me. And it wouldn't, also wouldn't make her look bad either. It was just like professionalism, which was nice. So I think that's definitely a benefit.
That's important to have as women too, because we have a lot more risk on the road in the industry in general. Even things like going to write, like I've had guys like really not understand and be offended when I'm like, I'm not gonna go to your house 30 minutes out of town for a session at 5 p.m.
Yeah,
the
sketchy.
Sun sets at 4:30. Like, I'm not doing that.
And also, like, sorry, I'm not writing in your bedroom. Not happening.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's a classic.
Classic.
But that's important.
What do you find in your life now is the most difficult part of what you're doing?
I think the mental aspect, which is something that I've struggled with just in general. Like, I definitely have like anxiety and ADHD for sure. And I always see those as such a blessing. And it's funny because who did I read? It was Emma Stone. Emma Stone has anxiety. Mm-hmm. And she always was like, it's the biggest blessing because, like, I'm going to get up and go. Like, my anxiety is going to force me to get up and go. Like, I have more energy than people do because of my anxiety. And like, that's always how I try and view it, because there is such stigmas about it, and absolutely shit, like, it's so tough in certain ways, but there's such like benefits of like that and anxiety and ADHD, because it's like I have more energy and I will do random things. I don't know. So
yeah,
definitely the mental side of staying in, like, even like we talked about before, is just staying in my own lane and listening to my gut, because as it grows, which I want it to so bad, but like more people get involved and more voices and more opinions, and it's just something to be like, I appreciate that, but I need to put my blinders on and like have this, and then have like two people that I go to and like really like, and it's literally my sisters. Like, my sisters are the ones I go to for everything, and they'll tell me like, they're going to give you no bullshit. They're going to give you absolutely what it is. Like, I'll play them a demo and they're like, never let that see the light of day. Like, and I'm like,
you're like,
and
ouch,
I appreciate that.
Okay.
No, like, literally, and I need it. And it's just like people that won't sugarcoat it, that you trust has your back and like everything. And like, can keep my mind on the kind of like safe path, because it's so easy to like scare myself of, oh, I'm going to write with this person, or I'm like numbers can get in your head. I don't know. It's just definitely the mental aspect and keeping it clear and trying to like focus on the point of music. And that's just like the emotion and the soul behind it, rather than all the crap that comes with it.
Yeah. And what's your favorite part about what you're doing?
Oh my gosh, I think connecting with people. Like, I'm such a people person, and I just like I guess there's two parts. There's one, being able to write about my feelings as my job. That's the craziest thing ever. Like, I'll never get over that. I'm literally, like, going to write. So I'm like, so this boy broke my heart. Let's write a song about it. Like, it's literally just the best thing ever. I get the last word always. And then connecting with people. Like, having people reach out is the most wild thing ever and be like, this helped me through a breakup. And I'm like, oh. How is that happen? Like, you live in Australia. Like, what?
Yeah.
So I think those are my probably top two things about it.
And you also, like, going back to the whole, like, TikTok and viral thing, like, you also do, I didn't even realize you did this, and I was scrolling one day, and I was like, hey, I know that girl. And you were just, like, on live, like, playing your songs just, like, acoustically for whoever was just in the live, but it was a TikTok, not Instagram, because I totally agree. There's something about TikTok that is so just, like, unserious.
Dude, literally, like, you're not real. Like, it's...
Exactly. Our first session, I was, like, I was so struck when I showed up by how, like, exactly the same you were in person than you were on your videos. And you don't always see that, like, especially living in Nashville, there's a lot of people that have become TikTok famous and stuff like that. And they're not always the same person in person than they are online. And I find a lot of times that happens because they've built a brand off of what they knew was going to get views and not what was actually them.
Totally.
And then I've had friends be like, oh my God, I hate that I've painted myself into that corner because I can't change my brand.
Right.
And I hate what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot, but you have translated that connectingness with people to your online presence. Have you found that difficult at all to keep that same kind of connectivity as you've gotten bigger and started tour, or has it been that same kind of like, haha, that's not real, like, I'm just gonna do whatever?
First of all, thank you for the compliment. That's really nice. It means a lot.
You're welcome.
I think there's been moments where I post a video and I'm like, oh, what did I just post? That was so not me. And in those moments, I just check myself. Like, there's just a lot of times I feel like I'm really trying to be self-aware and really trying to be like, is this me or is this just like me trying to like do a bit? And like, sometimes it's like a bit, but sometimes I'm like, no, that's still me. Like, it's me. But there's definitely been moments where like, just like, I don't know, even on stage, like I really, even in rehearsals, like I just try and be so in my body and so real in that moment, because like, I don't know, this sounds so cheesy, but like our superpower is us. Like, there is legitimately no other person in the world that is you. So I think that that's like a no brainer to use. It's like, okay, that's your originality. So like, I try and check that for me and staying sane, and also just like showing the, I don't know, I think that that's such a beautiful thing to be like showing the world that like it's so possible to be yourself and like that's what people love about you. So I think that that's helped me check kind of like myself in that, and my siblings. Like, my family is the biggest thing that like has kept me sane through all of it. Not that I'm like anybody, but like in moments of like, oh my God, I think I'm really, my sister's like, no, literally shut up, you're not.
You're not special.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, literally, you need it. So, like, I think that there's been moments, but they help me be grounded, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to other artists who are trying to navigate their way through the landscape that you're finding your way through?
The biggest advice, I mean, literally kind of what we just touched on, is, like, be genuine and, like, use that to your advantage and like, really, and, like, it's funny because, like, even if my music career goes nowhere after this, which I hope to God it doesn't, but even if it doesn't, it's, like, because I've been able to go into rooms and just, like, be honest with myself and write exactly where I'm at, it's helped me grow so much as a person. So, like, be as authentic as possible for you, not only because it's, like, what you should show the world, but it's, like, gonna help you grow as a human so much. And, like, even if you don't end up staying a like creator forever, like that will just like bring you light years ahead, because it's like 100 therapies of just being so honest and vulnerable and like putting yourself out there constantly. So like, I just think that helps you as a human.
When you were talking about your sisters, it just made me curious, have you experienced where people close to you, friends, family, etc., have kind of told you very lovingly that like, hey, I think you're going down the wrong path with this, or hey, I think that wasn't authentic, or maybe you should do this and this in the industry instead, and you're just like, I know that my instinct is different and they're trying to protect me, but it's, how do I explain to them that I'm going to hear them and still go a different way.
I think it's actually, it's funny because like my parents don't know anything about the industry, but like it's been with my parents purely because I curse in so many of my songs. And I am, the thing is like, I will call my parents out on this and they can see this right now. They're cursers, okay? Like, I adore them. They are the sweetest people ever, but like, our family is yellers and cursers for sure. We sound like sailors, okay? And so like, I'll go and I'll be like, fuck that guy or whatever. And then I was like, fuck that guy. And, but then I'll write it in a song and they're like, I mean, could you have chosen a better word? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, we're going to do this. We're dying on this hill. So I think that that's actually where I found like the biggest struggle is like, and my parents support me no matter what. They're like, we don't love it. Yeah. And I'll probably close my ears during that part in the song. But like, yeah, we'll still show up, whatever. So it's like, I think that those moments where like, I'll be like, do you love this song? And my mom's like, don't love the curse word. And I'm like, really? But like, it's so like out of love. And she just like wants me to go down the right path and whatever. But it's like, and this is what I always say to her. I'm like, sometimes there's just no other word to say it. Like sometimes you just have to say the curse word and that's what feels right. So like I really do try not curse like just willy-nilly in my songs. I try, like if I'm gonna curse, I'm like, I want this curse word there because it's how I felt and there's no other way to describe it. But like sometimes I'll write songs and I'll just drop the F-bomb for random things and I'm like, okay, that was not necessary. There's better words I could have used.
It's like your mom's voice in your head.
Yeah, mom's voice.
Literally, she's always right there.
I will say to mom and dad, I'll have you know that we've written a song called Asshole.
Yeah.
Like the title is Asshole and she hasn't released it. So you should be really, really so happy.
Be happy.
There could be
Mom.
So many more F bombs and A bombs out That's there.
We're just setting the bar, okay?
She held it back.
It could have been so worse.
Well, should we go into our rapid fire questions?
Let's freaking do it. I love rapid fire.
Let's do it. Okay, I'll ask the first one. Who would be your dream collaborator if there was a guarantee that they would say yes?
Julia Michaels, hands down.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with her. She's so talented. It's crazy.
Was just studying the song That's the Kind of Woman in class today with my songwriting students. So good.
It's insane.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about someone who like authentically brings their personal life into things, that is amazing. And I have a follow-up question to that. Since you answered Julia Michaels, would you want it to be a ballad or like a pop bop? Because you both do both.
Really I want a mix. I don't think I want a ballad, but I want like her song Happy. Like I would want to do something like that with her where the like lyrics of the verses are genius and then the chorus just like fucks.
Like, yeah.
All right, we'll put it out into the universe.
Yes.
We'll make a couple. We'll tell Nicolette to get on that.
Perfect.
Yeah. what advice would you give your younger self?
Be present. And, like, I'm such a future forward thinker, which I love and am grateful for. But, like, I'll be, like, 6 years down the road stressing about it. And, like, there's no reason and nothing I can do about it. So being present is something I would be, like, enjoy where you are. You move forward no matter what.
That's a good one. If you could ask God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, one question, what would it be?
Ooh, I love that question. like, am I on the right path? If it was asking today, I think that that's what I would be. Am I on the right path? And like, is it all going to work out?
Okay. What is your favorite thing about yourself?
I think, not to harp on this so many times in this freaking podcast, but I think authenticity. I think I definitely like really try and make that something I focus on in life and being vulnerable and honest with like everybody around me, even though it's terrifying. I would say that's probably my favorite thing.
And last question, what is one thing that you think is totally over or underrated?
Ooh, over or underrated? Underrated drive-in movies. I love a drive-in movie.
I honestly don't think I've ever been to one.
Oh, you're missing out. They are amazing.
There needs to be more, like, because I feel like they're always in the boonies, but they need to have them, like, in the city.
They're so cute.
I love that idea. Like, I love my car. It's my safe place. I want to watch a movie.
Although in Nashville, it would just be, like, overshadowed by like bachelorette party buses.
So, totally.
I don't know how well that would work.
Yeah, but, unfortunate, but true.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for spending a little bit of your afternoon with us.
Yeah, this was great.
This was literally so fun. Thank you guys for having me. Like, truly had such a good time. And I love that it's a little girl powwow.
To stay up to date on all things The Table on social media, join us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at the handle @TheTableWomen.
Our theme song, Stop You, is written and performed by yours truly, Sarah DeForest, co-written by Taylor Foley and Will Macbeth, and produced by Will Macbeth.
And as always, we'll include links to any creatives, music, television, etc. referenced in this episode in the episode notes.
We'll see you next time on
The Table.
Do what you want, work what you got, say what you think, and don't let them stop you.